This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez Labrette and Micah Gadia.
Welcome to this episode of The Missing Link. My name is Jabez Labrette, and I'm here with the one who needs no real introduction, because she is literally the fabric that holds this whole thing together.
Hello, Jabez Labrette. It is Micah Gadia. How are you?
It's always a pleasure. Fantastic. So today, we've got a heck of a show today.
This is what
what's really interesting about today's guest is not only the fact that he's from Australia, which I have never been to and have always wanted to go visit. He is a real genius at building things that grow fast in large communities and really getting to attract the, you know, audiences to participate in kind of the programs that he's running. And I think that's not common. That's a big challenge to build a community quickly.
Yeah. And I'm glad we'll be learning from him.
No, me too. No, this is something we could all use, which is how to get more people to be involved in your groups, building stronger groups, building stronger partnerships. And, you know, really today it's going to be focusing on kind of that both community building as well as the partnerships and, you know, finding and identifying those strategic alliances that you need to grow your businesses and to grow your audiences. And so I'm really excited that we've got Liam Austin on the line today, which is going to be amazing. And we have a group, that private, super secret, speakeasy style LinkedIn group that we have. How do people get into the group?
We do have an amazing group started with The Missing Link, and only people that listen to the podcast actually join that group typically. So if you want to join it, and we do hope you do, it's very active, lots of questions, lots of answers, a lot of great resources. A lot of our the people that we have interviewed on The Missing Link are actually part of the group, and they are willing to help and answer questions as needed. So if you want to join us, we hope you do. If you're in the continental United States, you will pull out your mobile device and you will text us at 41411 and you'll put in a keyword, my link, M-Y-L-I-N-K, and make sure you take out that space because it will autocorrect. And it's easy as well. If you are outside of the continental United States, please email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. That's it.
Sweet. Highly encourage it. It is a very, very active group, and groups are struggling these days, but we're going to learn more about that as we come up. So next coming up soon, Liam Austin, founder of Small Today and a huge business group that he's going to be sharing some insights with us. So coming up after this short break, and a shout out to our sponsors.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back to The Missing Link. This is Jabez Labrette and Micah with us on the line, and we have Liam Austin. Liam, take a second, introduce yourself. Where are you from and what do you do?
Hey, Jabez, Micah, cheers for having me on today. Mentioned, I'm in Australia, in Sydney. It's now 7 a.m., so nice, bright and early. So a little bit of a time difference to most of your audience, I think. I run a small business community online called Small Today, and it grew out of a group on LinkedIn that I started back in 2008. It's actually Small Today began because of members of my LinkedIn group requesting that we do more offline, off LinkedIn, and grow their networking, their businesses, and provide them more value to them through LinkedIn. So I'm very thankful to LinkedIn and everything that they've provided to us and continue to provide us at Small Today.
Now, do you still maintain that group on LinkedIn, or has the entire thing moved off to Small Today?
No, I mean, we're at 100 and just over 111,000, I think, members on that LinkedIn group, Small Holy Business cow. Network.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. I think there's no really big secret in terms of how that grew. It just we got in early back in 2008 when LinkedIn first allowed you to create groups, and now we have around about 700 to 800 new members joining every week. So that's like 100 new members joining every day. So it's a huge lead generation source for Small today. So it's definitely still a big part of our business. And yeah, we love LinkedIn.
The smart ones are always modest and humble. That's what I say. So obviously you don't accidentally get to 110,000 continuing, 111,000 growing quickly group without putting in some work into it. What are a couple, you know, just tips you have for how you managed your group to get it to grow at all?
I think, first of all, you need to know who your target audience is and get the keywords right in the actual title or name of your group. So for us, we've used the Small Business Network to target that small business keyword. So if you search for small business within the groups area, we always turn up within the first 1, 2, or 3 groups on LinkedIn. And then we've also put in other keywords that would match our target audience, such as startups and entrepreneurs. So when people are searching on LinkedIn, they're coming across our group and joining, hopefully. and obviously the description has a lot to do with that as well, where we try to cover what we offer, what discussions are about, and also you know, the benefits, not just, you know, the features of joining, but actual benefits that they get. And we try to give away some freebies, things like that, when people first join, which is another little trick to build our email list over at Small Today.
Yeah, so hold on. We got a couple of things here. I just want to make sure that people don't miss these, because that was like the, oh, we didn't do much, but here's 15 things that we did. right
like
out of the gate.
Seriously.
Right. Number one, one of the things that I heard you say is don't be cutesy. Like, don't try to be cutesy with your name of your group. Like, you know, you think of a small business owner. Small business owners wear a lot of hats, or they're jack of all trades, especially when they're starting out. And, you know, I can see somebody be, you know, like getting kind of cutesy and being like, oh, we're the, you know, wear every hat group, or, you know, we're the jack of all trades group. And you're really missing an opportunity here by not keyword branding your group to the person you're trying to attract. And I think that was really important. And then you mentioned too, a little bit later, was the benefit statements inside the description, which is so powerful, because we all know that people, you know, they buy off of emotion, they buy off of benefit statements. They don't engage with things off of just the straight logical approach. And so benefits are much, you know, a more powerful way to communicate from a marketing perspective. So that's two things I jumped. Micah, did anything else jump out at you? You were probably taking copious notes.
Yeah, those are the two main ones that I was writing down. A freebie when you join LinkedIn. I have not experienced that with a group yet.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. So tell us
that's
about that.
You want to go into a little bit more detail
about
that one?
Tell us about that.
I don't know how many months ago it was now, but LinkedIn changed the rules on joining groups where you actually had to request to join. It was mandatory. Previously, as a group owner, you're allowed to choose whether your group was open for everyone and anyone could join whether you approve them or not. And now, as group owners, we have to manually approve every single person that requests to join. So you don't get immediate access when you join any group on LinkedIn. Within the settings of managing your group, if you do start and create a group, which I think, you know, is still definitely relevant now, especially if you do go target, if you go niche on your audience there, you can create and manage message templates, what they call templates in the manage groups area. And there's two emails that I've set up and that I use quite frequently that I think is really, really important. And the first one is the request to join message. And that's the email. So this is a direct email that your members get, right, in their email inbox, which is super, super important. They get this email message as soon as they request to join, saying, and you can template it, you can change it to however you want it, whatever you want it to say. But basically, what you want to cover is, you know, thanks very much for, you know, requesting to join this group. You should be accepted within the next, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours, or however frequently right. you do.
The next 30 food. Days. No kidding.
That's and you know that can be true for a lot of people because you know groups are quite difficult to manage now. You know, if you are getting lots of requests every single day, you have to jump in there every day and approve them. And so there is a little bit of work here. So the whole idea is if they are waiting, you know, hopefully not 30 days, but maybe you know 3 or 4 days or whatever it is, or even less, give them something as a freebie, as a gift, whilst they're waiting. So for us, we give away a free LinkedIn training pack.
Nice.
We provide the link to that free training pack. People can go away straight to that giveaway, enter in their name and email address and download that template, which basically gives them some ideas into how they can use LinkedIn better for their small business as an entrepreneur or a startup.
What is your conversion rate on that email?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know the numbers or the stats on that, but it's actually not as great as you'd find in a general call to action email or in a landing page somewhere else.
But it is kind of a freebie, though. Like you're getting like a freebie chance to get an opt-in here because – They're simply trying to join a group. So it's not like they're part of a – you spent a lot of money trying to go out there and buy the click to your website.
It's an opportunity there that you can give people and give them value at the same time. So it's not only just relevant value. So for us, it's that LinkedIn training pack. It's like, okay, here's how you can get more out of LinkedIn. Here's how you can get more out of when you do get accepted into this group, how you can benefit from networking, partnering, and interacting, and you know, being part of the group to grow your business. So
that's awesome.
Make sure that it is relevant and providing value at the same time.
We're big fans of that. Make sure you provide value. You know, because it I mean. Man, Mike, I mean, you harp on this all the time.
It's my thing.
It's a good thing.
Give to your audience. Yep, give to your audience. Be generous, and you will find your people. You will find your customers.
So how are you moving these people off this group into your – so you said there was kind of a groundswell of people saying, hey, you know, we want to interact more. We want more than LinkedIn has to offer. What was your mechanism after that initial group? So you got the initial people that said, hey, give me this other thing. Give me a place to go, a community. You built that. Now how do you get people to that new community?
Okay. So I mentioned obviously that request to join message. Just on the second message that's available there is the welcome message. So you welcome people into the group. That can also be used as a call to action as well, if you want to, or just give them the general rules of the website and maybe a little bit about you as the owner to tell them, you know, be a bit more personal. I think it's really good to be authentic, be genuine, be real with people, get them to know, get them, some information so that they get to know you a little bit better. In terms of getting people across to small today. Initially, I ignored some of these messages coming from LinkedIn for my LinkedIn group owners. My members of my LinkedIn group for a couple of years. But eventually, it became too much to ignore. And there was a few members that put their hand up to say, "Hey, I'm willing to help you, build this or create this or get this started." So I let them. Go about their thing and help out the group, the community, which is really cool. So there's some great people on LinkedIn, some really people who are willing to share and help out and be valuable to other members, which I think is what you should be doing if you are trying to network on LinkedIn. You need to be helpful and giving upfront. So what we do and what works really, really well for us is the group announcements.
So this is the broadcast that you're allowed to send to your entire group, correct?
Exactly. So as a group owner, you're allowed to send a group message or a broadcast to announcement to all your members via email once a week. And that's a plain text email message that you can send within the group admin area.
Right. I want to interject here, Liam. For anyone who listens to the, or for anyone who's in our LinkedIn group, this is how we sent out the form of the survey that we just sent to each of you. So that's what it looks like when you send out an announcement. We just did this with our group, Liam. We sent out a survey to find out what our group was looking for, what they wanted, what they liked, what they didn't like. So.
And we excellent. Don't, yeah, we don't send out a lot of those on our end of events, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad technique. It's just, you know, Rainmaker Digital, you know, those folks aren't, you know, sending out regular messages. And I've seen a lot of groups that do this very successfully, like yours, Liam.
Yeah, so I think it's a really valuable, one of the most valuable parts of the LinkedIn groups, actually, for our business, where you get to go straight into the email inbox of your community members. And for us, with a group of 110,000, not everyone has opted in to receive these email announcements, and you can opt out as well. So if you don't want to receive those emails in your inbox, you can unsubscribe from those. But there's probably about, I think, 75 to 80,000 of our 110,000 people actually get these emails. If you're not filtering them properly, if you're not setting up your welcome emails properly so that people are prioritizing these emails in their inbox, then they're going to go into spam, unfortunately, just because they're not being sent from your domain. They're being sent from LinkedIn, and they're seen as a social network email. Yeah. So if not, it'll go into the social tab on Gmail or the spam folder. So you want to set that up so you make sure you're in the primary inbox of your people.
Absolutely.
So
what Liam's talking about, if those of you that don't know, is that when Gmail separated out their tabs, the LinkedIn messages automatically filter into social. So they're not in the front inbox when you log into Gmail for most users. And so he's talking about making sure that email does get into that inbox.
And how are you doing that, though? Like, how are you teaching them to do that, or do you do it through the managed system in the group?
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that, Jabez. Amiga, so to answer your question, it's we should be kind of educating people how to go about that, and you definitely can. I'm not at the moment with the people coming from the LinkedIn group, but you should be. And how do you go about that? You can, in that first email, that message that's when they're pending to join the group, you can ask them to prioritize your email by dragging the email from the social tab into the main tab of Gmail, or even just add your domain as well. This is a difficult thing, right? Because it's coming from LinkedIn. You can add the LinkedIn domain as a filter so that all emails that come from LinkedIn go into your primary email tab. And that might not necessarily be what you want to be, but if you are sending from your primary domain emails generally, that's something that you should be asking people to add your domain as a filter to always go into an inbox or into a specific folder if you so wish.
Wise words. Always tell your audience how to get your messages. No, that's serious. People forget those steps for sure. So, all right. I don't want to I want to make sure that we get to this other side too, because I think that you have some real good advice and good guidance on developing relationships with strategic partners. And this can also impact your group. It can impact all sorts of avenues of your business. You know, I know that that's something you've been doing well over the years. Maybe you can share with us some kind of insights as to how do you approach people that you don't know?
Yeah, always a difficult thing, right? Our business, Small Today, has grown super fast, I think, through our relationships with our strategic partners, with people, you can call them influencers, I suppose, or people who have an authority in a community, so they have the ability to reach out to a group of people. So that might be, for instance, group owners on LinkedIn. It could be, for us, other entrepreneurs who run entrepreneur communities online, whether that's, you know, magazine publications, blogs, things like that. And we reach out to them via LinkedIn, first of all, which, you know, you always look at LinkedIn as that, you know, 400 million people CRM system for yourself. I think it's super important. So,
well, what do you mean? So you reach out to them. What do you say? Like, I think that's one thing that people struggle with is if I don't know you, what do I say that doesn't like turn you the other direction to make you want to run as far away from me as possible?
Yeah. Well, I think this is the first thing, right? Like cold emails always are kind of frowned upon. They're better than cold calling, definitely. cold emailing, you can at least reach someone when they're checking their inbox. You're not, disturbing them or interrupting them. So cold emailing is something that works really, really well if you go about it the right way. In terms of the strategy we use, we look at using the advanced search within LinkedIn to identify our perfect strategic partners, and we you can obviously target by location. Company, keywords is critical as well. And if they're a second connection, you can get a referral to these people. So it doesn't have to be a cold email either. If they are a second connection, you can just get referral. Ask your first level connection on LinkedIn to give you a referral to that person.
Yeah, so that was really important that you said there, which was the advanced search function, which people, you have to pay for that if you really want it to work well. And I'm a huge advocate of paying for the premium service in LinkedIn, if nothing else, for access to that advanced search function to its fullest extent. Doesn't mean you can't get any features in the advanced search without paying. And then you said the getting someone to connect you with somebody else, right?
Yep.
So asking that person, hey, would you mind connecting me with this person? Do people ever say no?
That depends on, I think, your relationship again with that person, right? But what's in it for them? Why should they be referring you to one of their contacts? And you've got to make sure that you go about that in the right way. If you can get them on the phone and do it, it's going to be a lot easier and better than if you're cold emailing that, your first level connection, just asking for something. You should always be trying to give value to every person along this kind of chain of events here. And that can sometimes be difficult, but if you can do that via a face-to-face meeting or over the phone, that can work a lot better. So in terms of, I think, to answer your question, what should go in the email, one thing I like to do before that is you do the advanced search on LinkedIn, and yes, if you've paid to upgrade, you can do a lot more advanced search to really narrow down the exact target audience so that once you actually do approach these people, it's a no-brainer for them because you've narrowed down the target so perfectly that it matches. You're giving them as much value as you are getting value from the relationship. You want that win-win whenever possible. And the advanced search of 400 million people on LinkedIn, it's definitely a smart way to go about narrowing down who that right match for a strategic partner would be. And then it's about, can I get a referral to that person? If not, how can I add value to their life, to their business? Check out whether they are posting on Pulse, on the publishing platform on LinkedIn. Comment, share their articles. Same across, whether it's Twitter or Facebook. If they're posting or tweeting across those networks, comment, share, start building a relationship with them across social media. And why does that work? Because your name starts becoming familiar to them. They see that you're there's nothing worse than posting something on LinkedIn Pulse and not getting any comments to it or any likes, right? So you can add value straight away to people by telling them what a great article they've written, add some value to it by doing a constructive comment on their post or on their tweet or on their update, whatever it might be, and do that over the space of 3 or 4 weeks by in advance of you wanting to cold email them, and that'll just help you get that foot in the door and go from a cold email to a bit more of a warmer one.
Yep, I love that.
That's fantastic. So these are for the connections that are a little bit more, I would say, impactful or valuable. This wouldn't be the techniques you'd use for every single connection you make on LinkedIn, But if we're talking about someone you really, really want to be connected with,
right,
because there's going to be a lot of value in that relationship between the two of you, you know, the going as far as like actually calling your contact or seeing them in God forbid, see them in person. and then saying, hey, would you mind connecting me on LinkedIn with this person? I'm going to send you a request, you know, and then you have to follow up with the request. Like, don't just leave it in their lap to go do it on their own, because that's kind of annoying. You know, so I just think that is just such a good technique. And whole man, I tell you, as a journalist, I get hit up to write stories all the time. And I get these cold emails that are like five paragraphs of information that they want, you know, somebody wants me to read that says, hey, would you pitch my stuff? I think you should talk about me. And I virtually never respond to that. The person who says, hey, I read this article, I retweeted that thing about, you know, and I'll see that happen. Like I'll see people retweet stuff and then I'll see them like, you know, like one of my articles on Pulse Network. And then I'll see them like, you know, maybe go, you know, onto my website and fill out a form, you know, it's like all of a sudden I feel like, okay, you actually taking the time to get to know me and, you know, to Liam, to what you're talking about, that goes a long way, spending that extra time up front to kind of begin to warm up the relationship. I mean, Mike, I don't know if you've had any experience with that or not, but it just sounds bulletproof to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do write I have one Pulse article, which I'm very proud of. When people do comment, it feels good. And you can comment back. And I mean, I've got a whole show based on comments from my article written. And so I really appreciated the comment. You know what I'm saying? Like it added value to me and, you know, obviously made me notice that person. So yeah, I can see a lot of value add in just engaging with the, you know, your perfect audience, your perfect target, just engaging with them personally, one-to-one. And it does take time. That's what I'm thinking about right now. It does take time, and that's okay. That's what business is.
Clutch advice. All right, Liam, I got one question for you. This actually might become a thing that I start doing, because we did this the last episode and I liked it so much. If you were to run into an advanced LinkedIn user and you were just having a conversation with them, what would be one aha or kind of trick in the back pocket that you have that you would share with them that said, hey, have you ever tried this? This really worked really well for me, or this is something that I like to do on LinkedIn, if you're talking to that kind of more advanced LinkedIn user?
I would, this is a tricky one. I don't know whether this is a trick, but it's something that I think is underutilized. And we've touched on it briefly already, but it's that second level connections. Getting referrals to people can be huge for people's businesses, and I know it has been for us at Small Today. If you can identify, and this is what you can do in advanced search, you can search, I think with the free version even, you can search just for people who are second level connections to you, and then, you know, target them specifically by keyword, by location, all that kind of thing. And if you've got paid for the upgrade, then obviously, yeah, you can target even more specifically. But then, you know, that search for second level connections. I mean, I've just done a search just now on my own connections, second level connections. I've got like 1.8, you know, million results here, and now I need to filter that down into like people who would be specific, but and valuable to a relationship. But you can narrow that down to, you know, three or five people, and they can have a massive impact on your business if, you know, you have a complementary business where you can share each other's audiences or help each other promote each other's products or services or businesses or whatever it might be. There's a lot of value in these second level connections that you would never normally get access to. If you meet someone, you know, at a networking event, you grab their business card, you don't know who they're connected with, who their friends and colleagues and partners are. But on LinkedIn, if you add them to LinkedIn, you instantly get access to see who their second level connections are. And you can go ahead and, you know, provide value to them and obviously ask for an introduction. But it's just, maybe it's not an advanced trick, but I think it's definitely just underutilized by business owners out there.
It has been forever since I've done it, so I'd say that was pretty darn good. So, Liam, thank you so much for joining us today.
We
are going to put all that up in the show notes and links to all your stuff so that people can get in touch with you and follow all the exciting stuff that you're doing.
Awesome. No, thanks very much for having us on, guys. And I hope to have provided as much value to your audience, because I know that they're advanced LinkedIn users themselves.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, that was fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Micah. As always, it has been awesome.
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Liam. And thank you, Jabez.
And we will talk to you all soon. Thank you very much. Everybody take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.